Oh, hello. This is Mina Fisher, Town Guard. The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. To find more podcasts like this, visit professionalcasual.com.
The Professional Casual Network has gear. If you're looking to get some sweet merch from Beards, Ears, and Skulls, Grim Podcast, A Perilous Adventure, Arachne, and Infinity Podcast, or a whole lot more, you can check out streamlabs.com/professionalcasualnetwork1/merch. Also, don't go to Built Bar anymore. They're not a sponsor and they're dead to us. So head over to monumenthobbies.com and use code professionalcasual at checkout for 5% off every single order you possibly, you know, like order for like paints and board games and stuff. Right? Thanks.
Hey, my electric casuals, and welcome to another episode of Beards, Ears, and Skulls. Dan has a shiny new book.
It smells weird.
On the best podcast on the internet. Why? What? Why weird?
I guess it smells like the other books.
Is it a little weird?
I don't
know.
Smell? My dog probably threw up on her or something because he's an idiot.
He's so cute, though.
He's so stupid.
He is pretty dumb.
He is.
But anyways, my name's Taylor.
Oh yeah.
I'm your personal grudge bearer, and with me is Dan.
I'm your personal prince today, Renegade Prince.
You are. I got a lot of grudges with this book, let me tell you. So let me, what's up?
It's so close. It's so close to being great.
So before we get started, Dan.
Hi.
I just want to send a huge dowie thank you to our beautiful, wonderful patrons who support us over at patreon.com/professionalcasual. These folks help us do what we do every day, keep the lights on, and keep Tim from eating his white monster zins. Gins? Zins.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Well, you never know.
It's a family show, Taylor.
Is it?
No.
Huge special thanks to our top patrons. We've got X-Paxis, Iron Maze, Tau, Dagna, Briar Mage, Cider Drinker, Kilted Sparky, Random Guy, Cliff Jumper, Velicenda, Pagan Prince, David, Handsome Andy, Brooks, Chris Dillard, Cord, Bastion, Bangarang, and Dravix. Who's brand new?
Six hours ago. 6 hours ago. And then shout out to our even newerest patron from 45 minutes ago. Kiss My Ex, which I thought you would really like.
I like that a lot.
I'm not sure if he listens to this yet. They just joined the Discord and said they're from Gapapa. So maybe they listen to this too. I don't know.
Gapapa.
But I thought that was great. Kiss my ass.
We also have a tier called Electric Casuals. And if you're a huge fan of this show or Old World in general, you should sign up for the Electric Casuals tier over at patreon.com/professionalcasual, where we have Lou G, Tony M, Meerkat, Stefan, Rev Right Mad, Cliff, Elite Eight Showdown was canceled, Anthony, Manuel, the Neil Harris, Lil Willie, Carlos, and Nick Barron. Nick Barron, your tears are delicious, and I mean that in the most loving way possible. It's not like I want you to cry. It's just they taste real good.
Nick Tieran.
No. Wow.
I'm so funny.
Don't worry. I flipped Dan off. I didn't, actually.
I was like, no, you didn't.
One more thing before we get started here, ladies and germs, is we have a new review.
Yay!
Dan, do you want to read that out for us?
Oh. No, I closed it.
Okay, I got it. So this review is from MB Sherwood. It's the best podcast ever. I absolutely love the show. There are always so many great new ideas and things to talk about. It's always a fun time that makes me want to play the Old World. The episodes always make me laugh, and I listen to them all. Are we sure this is this show we're talking? What I can't get over, though, is how Taylor claims to hate Space Wolves, and yet he plays dwarves, which are basically the same thing. They both have runes that aren't magic. Get out! Don't even get me started on his cheater artifact deck. He could make a dwarf list that could beat my Tomb Kings. That was the worst review we've ever had.
Thanks, Michael. That's so good. Have we talked about Space Wolves being like the dwarves of 40K before?
You can
because
stop.
They really are.
You can stop.
You know, until Squats came out.
You can stop right now.
They got runes.
Everything you're saying is wrong.
There are no dwarves in the Warhammer world.
There are no dwarves in the Underway.
There are no dwarves in the Carrick.
That's so stupid.
There are no dwarves on Fenris.
I mean, fair. It's so dumb. Anyway, don't
make sense if you don't think about it too hard. They're not wolves, Taylor. We've gone over this.
I'm gonna stab you. Let's get to games played in Hobbies Hobby before
you can't stab me. You're a bunch of miles away.
I'm at least 25 miles away. That's for sure. Games played in Hobbies Hobby. I've done nothing. Surprise, surprise.
To be fair, this is like a quick turnaround for recording for us.
Yeah.
Since Taylor's going on a dope trip real soon. What have I done for Hobbies Hobby? I just built, people aren't going to want to hear this on this show, but I just built a bunch of new MCP stuff that we got from Atomic Mass Games. Super Ooh. Exciting. I just built Prowler, Echo, Tigra, and Ronin. And my fingers have a lot of glue on them because I didn't do a great job not getting glue on myself. I just finished painting Wookiees for Legion, and I've been working on the second unit of Rebel Troopers.
Nice.
But I have been throwing paint on Goros, Warhoof, and my elf. I keep forgetting what they're called. The level 3 wizard in the Arcane Journal that rides a unicorn.
That one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. No, that one's dope. Yeah.
Shoot, I can never remember what it's called. I haven't actually fielded it yet, I never remember.
Definitely not called Shoot. I can't remember what it's called.
I'm gonna find it in just a second. Oh, okay. I forgot I'm on my other computer that doesn't have things organized well at all.
I think it's called a unicorn riding elf person.
That's it. Shut up. You're dumb. It's like it's in the High Elf Player's Guide for Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay. So I'm going to find that because I don't have the Arcane Journal right here.
Wow, neither do I. Huh. Weird. I have everything.
Because I have it on the new computer and I don't have the new computer with me right now.
Sounds like a you problem. Anyways.
It is.
Stormweaver. Stormweaver. See, that was on the tip of my tongue.
I knew Storm or C was in it somewhere. So Stormweaver, I got started painting that.
Yeah, actually, what I was thinking was Weaver of Storms. So I was close.
Liar.
You calling me a liar?
I was, before we started recording, I was having a lot of fun starting to build, theoretically, a list with one of the new armies. It's not even really an army of infamy. I think technically it is, but it's really its own thing.
Before we get started in that.
About. No, I'm so excited about it.
Dan, there is something that we have to tell the people.
Tell the people.
Before we get started, we have some breaking news. Dan and I have put our one shared brain cell together and decided that it would be best to promise you all a more realistic release schedule.
Oh, yeah.
What we would like to do is every Monday. That would be fantastic. However, with our incredibly busy schedules, it makes it very difficult for us to meet every single week to record, which you think it wouldn't because it only takes like an hour and a half, 2 hours to record. But that's how busy we are. So we're going to be doing a bi-weekly release schedule. It's still going to be the best old world podcast on the internet. It's just a little bit more spaced out.
And that way it's not like, oh, where's my episode this week?
Right. Yep.
You know, it's between kid stuff and work and school and all kinds of other recordings and everything. It is shockingly difficult to meet up even once a week.
It's insane.
And it wasn't bad like over the summer, but now that school's back up and the kids are even busier, it can be very difficult.
My kids aren't even in like sports or any of that sort of stuff. Like they have stuff and I'm relatively only available at 9 p.m. too. Which is wild that we don't have time then, you know, it's crazy.
Sometimes I just want to go to bed.
Like I just told Dan off camera. I was like, dude, I got 10 hours of sleep the last two nights. So I'm extremely exhausted. But I was like, no, I want to talk about this book. sorry about that, folks, if it's super upsetty spaghetti. But what that will mean is we should be able to be more on top of the releases when they're supposed to come out. Now, if something huge pops up and we want to chit chat about it and we have time, we will, and we'll break our release schedule.
Yeah, we might have bonus episodes.
Yeah, there might be bonus episodes like Tim eating White Monster Zins. That might be a bonus episode.
He would do that.
He would.
For you listeners.
He wouldn't even lip pillow that thing. He would just eat it.
I bet a lot of listeners are like, who even is Tim?
That's fair, actually.
It's been so long since he's been on the show.
Papa Tim. Anyways, let's talk about how awful the Slayer army is after you talk about your renegade dudes.
Okay, so yeah, the new book here, The War of Cetra's Fury, if people aren't aware, it is an arcane journal that just like the Storm Dragon one is like half campaign book, half new army lists. This one is a bit more on the army list side, since the Storm Dragon one was like, here's a very slightly different way to play Cathay with some Empire units thrown in. We have Empire kind of featured again with the Renegade Crowns. This is Realms of Man Renegade Crowns. So this is, it is technically an Army of Infamy. What's interesting about it is that you can draw from like four different books.
Dang.
This one, Arcane Journal, Kingdoms of Britonia for a couple different units. And then of course, Forces of Fantasy. So I guess that's three books.
Well then wait, so what else is it? Is there like Renegade Prince, Renegade? I haven't really looked at a lot of this stuff because of who I am as a person. so, oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. All right. I see. Oh, that's interesting. That's very interesting. Oh, Border and, Prince's Organ Gun.
And Arcane Journal Empire. So it is four different books you can take things from.
I have three Organ Guns if you need to use one, Dan.
I was just going to use my Hellblasters, but yeah, that's even better. So this is a really cool list. Renegade Crowns. I love that term. There's a Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay second edition book of the same name, all about the Border Princes, as you would imagine. So the Border Princes are like... If people aren't too aware, the lore behind it is a bit, it's an area that is considered pretty lawless. There's no unifying like king or emperor or anything like that. These lands between, they're south of the Empire and east of Tilia and north of the Badlands, where there's a bunch of orcs, and it's just constantly shifting borders. Rather the border princes, these people declare themselves as princes and try to take over as much land as they can. And then they fight everybody around them. So they did do a really nice job in this list of making it a mishmash of all the things that are very near them. There's you can take things from Empire. You can take things from Britonia to sort of even take some dwarves, which is kind of neat.
What?
Yeah, I didn't realize that till I was looking through making a list. So how this works is pretty standard, army composition, up to 50% of your army points value can be spent on 0-1 renegade prince per 1,000 points and then renegade captains and outcast wizards. Ooh, so the prince and captains are new characters. Outcast wizards are from the Britonia Arcane Journal. And they're just basic wizards really. They don't really have too much going on there. The Renegade Prince and Captain are pretty sweet because they are super customizable.
They're also really cheap.
They're dirt cheap. 75 points for the Prince, weapon skill 6, strength toughness 4, blitz skill 4, wounds 3, initiative 5, attacks 3, leadership 8. Pretty standard. I'm not sure that compares to an Empire General, but I'm going to assume it's pretty much the same.
Shoots better than a 250-year-old dwarf.
Yeah, and you can make it way better if you want.
Oh, nice. Oh, cool.
So, and then the captain is just hero level stats, right? Weapon skill 5 instead, 2 wounds, 2 attacks.
Yep.
Minus 1 to a lot of things, but they're 35 points.
That's like goblin levels points, right? Dude. Yes.
And weapon skill 5. And you can give them a great weapon, a halberd, a lance, a morning star, a war bow, a crossbow, a pistol, a brace of pistols, a shield, heavy armor, full plate armor. Dope. You can mount them on a war horse or a barded war horse. This is one place where this list is really going to struggle, is the only mount options anywhere are horses. Not even a Pegasus or a Hippogriff or anything like that, unfortunately. No, so I think that's really going to... A lot of people are saying this list doesn't look super competitive, but it looks really fun, which is what we care about.
Yeah, that's our kind of our thing. So that sounds dope. I love that.
So what's another thing that's interesting is these characters can only take common magic items.
Interesting.
Unless you give them a what's it called? Let me find that page. Infamous Origin. They can have the might of Miragliano. They can be a renegade knight, a noble outlaw, or a wandering diestro.
What?
Yeah. So the might of, so this is for any renegade lord or outcast wizard. So it's any of the characters in your list can take one of these upgrades. Let's see. Yeah, any renegade lord or outcast wizards within the army can may have a single infamous origin chosen from those detailed in each on this page.
Wow.
And they're pretty sweet. So like, I like the renegade knight. I'm building a list to use what I have for empire, see what I can do with renegade crowns. So giving my renegade prince, the renegade knight upgrade 25 points. So now he's 100 points, but he gets plus one weapon skill and strength.
Holy
so now
moly.
He's weapon skill 7, strength 5 base, which is great for a human.
Yeah.
And that also allows him to take magic items from the Forces of Fantasy and Arcane Journal Bretonnia. Nice. The Bretonnian items from Forces of Fantasy and their Arcane Journal. And then he gains the Noble Disdain and Veteran special rules. Noble Disdain is new. So a model with this special rule whose troop type is cavalry does not have to make a panic test when a friendly unit whose troop type is infantry is destroyed whilst within 6 inches of it, or when it's fled through by a unit with a troop type of infantry. They're like, yeah, I'm on a horse. I'm better than you.
Oh, look at the little peasants running away.
What's interesting, though, it says if the troop type is cavalry. I was going to say, it doesn't have to ride a horse, but he's a knight. I'm going to put him on a horse.
Right.
But it was funny. I was watching Mountain Miniatures. They did a battle report of the Renegade Crowns versus the new Slayer host. And Steve was joking about how you can finally have a Bretonnian knight with a 2+ armor save because they could take full plate.
Dang.
Bretonnia can't do that.
Finally.
Yeah. So that's my favorite. I think you'd really like the Noble Outlaw.
All right, let me read that one. So it gets another ballista skill. Dope. That's fantastic. And leadership. Okay, great. Yep. Yeah, so they're a dwarf engineer at this point. Ballista skill 5 with leadership 9. Gains the Hold the Line special rule from 4th of Fantasy.
I'll look that up while you're reading it because I don't remember what that does.
They can purchase magic items from Empires of Mans as well as the Forces of Fantasy and Arcane Journal Empire of Mans. And they can take a handgun, a repeater handgun, a repeater pistol, shortbow, longbow, and they can be ambushers or scouts. I mean, obviously, you're going to give them ambush with a repeater handgun. That's the best thing.
Yeah, it's only 10 points for ambush.
Yeah, and then 8 points for the handgun. So, you know, a pistol, probably. You give them a repeater pistol. So that's 38 points. Yeah, that seems the best. That's pretty dope. That's really cool. I love the Noble Outlaw. I have an idea for... this guy named Sheriff Todd.
Ooh.
Right? So, you know, the duster and all that.
Yeah. So Hold the Line is this character in any unit they've joined automatically passes any panic test they're required to make.
Oh, dang.
It's the rule that Empire generals and captains have.
Oh, that's cool as heck.
And that one's only 20 points.
Yeah, that's not bad. So the Border Prince is a little flavor text here. Border Princes are filled with ruthless outlaws and cutthroats that claim to be of noble birth. Claim to be. I love that.
Yeah. So I like this one a lot. So have you seen the pictures of the wizard with the machine gun?
What? No.
It's a legit old Warhammer model. Brooke shared a picture of it in the Discord the other day, but I didn't realize it was referencing an actual old model.
I got to find this thing now.
Yeah. Look up, like, I don't know, Warhammer wizard with machine gun. So you can do it. You can give your outlaw wizard the noble outlaw upgrade, and then he could take a repeater handgun.
That's hilarious. Oh, my gosh.
It's amazing.
Hey, Google, how wizard get handgun machine gun? I just set everybody's phone off. I'm so sorry, everyone. Oh, gosh, my phone's going off.
I could think I'm wearing headphones. But yeah, so you can give your wizard guns. Like, your wizard can literally cast gun now. That's fantastic. Again, is it good? I don't know, but it's awesome.
Yeah, who cares?
I didn't happen to roll any magic missiles, so I'm going to shoot you.
What if I just shot you about it, though?
I'd love it.
Oh, my gosh.
There's also the Might of Miragliano. For 25 points, you get plus one modifier to your leadership and stubborn and the Talayan Stoicism special rules. Talayan stoicism is just if the character joins a unit before they've taken their first break test, they're stubborn, so they can be stubborn. That one, I don't like that one nearly as much because 25 points for plus one leadership and stubborn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like you're just not getting much out of it.
What's really nice about it is it bumps you up to leadership 9.
So does a noble outlaw.
Right, and it's 5 points less.
And you get more ballistic skill.
Plus, you get a wizard as a machine gun, and that's dope. Machine gun wizard sounds great.
Right.
The last one here is the Wandering Diestro. Is that what you said?
Diestro.
Many a skilled duelist of noble birth has been driven from their home due to intrigue and treachery. A model with the Wandering Diestro infamous origin has +2 modifier to their weapon skill, gains the feint and dodge special rule, which I'll go over in a second, may not take any weapons with the strike last special rule, may take an additional hand weapon. Why did you tell me I'd like the other one? This is literally Zeresk.
Oh, yeah, points. I'm just thinking because the other one gave you a bonus to ballistic skill. I thought you'd appreciate
Shut
that.
Up. The feint and dodge rule is once per game when an enemy model directs its attacks against a model with a special rule. You, and then I can't see the rest of it. What's it do?
So it's not printed. There's a day one. I just brought up the FAQ for
that's
it.
The day one FAQ.
Day one FAQ. I'm just going to write it in my book. Once per game, when an enemy model directs its attacks against a model with a special rule, you may make that enemy model reroll its successful rolls to hit.
I'm trying to think of a fun thing where it's like you could take that ruling and just really mess with people.
Yeah.
Without the rest of it?
Well, you know, if you
once
put this...
Once per game, when an enemy model directs its attacks against a model with a special rule, you.
You.
And everyone's like, oh, you know, that's fair. Actually, I didn't think about it that way. But now that we've rolled the dice about it, you.
So, you know how this one is. So you're rolling to hit this guy.
Yeah.
He's got +2 weapon skill, right?
Sure.
If this is your renegade prince, he's weapon skill 8.
Oh, okay. So bloodthirster levels. Got it.
And then I'm pretty sure, is there a magic item, a common magic item that increases your weapon skill or just your to hit?
Oh my gosh, guy's hitting on 2s.
Right? I mean, so he's always going to be hitting on 3s pretty much all the time. He's got to go against things with weapon skill 3 to hit on 2s, which that table bothers me. I really don't understand why it's double +1. If you're twice as good as them, you should be hitting on 2s. Come on.
It's always been double +1 though, yeah.
I don't know, man.
I just work here.
Yes, it has been, but I mean, doesn't mean I have to like it. I thought I could have sworn there was one sort of striking +1 modifier to their rolls to hit.
Nice.
So you could give him sort of striking and he's weapon skill 8 with +1 to hit. So he's hitting on 2s and then you got to re-roll your hits against him.
Dang.
Pretty cool.
He's not going to hit hard. He's only strength 4.
Yeah. Unless, you can't also make him a knight to give him strength 5. That's too bad.
Is there a potion of strength you can give him? Is that common?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is. So for one round, he'd be super strong. He'll Colossus it up. where is this? Potion of strength. Single use +D3 to their strength. So at least strength 5.
How much?
Well, why you got to ask me after I go away from the tab?
Well, 25 points. And stuff. 25 points for that. How many points for the sword? Dan, we're making characters here.
Oh,
keep
God.
Up.
Oh, what? I got.
So 25 points, that puts him at 100, and then 20 for the background, so 120. And then how much for the sword?
15.
15, so what did I just say? 135. And then give him full plate armor. 100, and that's 6 points. 141.
That's really not bad.
It's not terrible. 141 isn't bad.
Throw a shield on him, 143.
Dang, now we're talking. I love this.
Actually, I like that build a lot. They're pretty dope.
He's got no AP, but who cares?
I'm trying to hit me and hit me.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Like you said, he's not going to hit hard, but he'll hit a lot. okay, so that's characters. I forgot I was going over the army. So 0-1 prince per 1,000 points, as many captains and outcast wizards as you want. And captains, like you said, are dirt cheap. 35 points a model. Throw a couple in there with like full plate and great swords and just be obnoxious.
I've never done that.
Gobbling it up. Core 25% standard. 0-1 unit of veteran sell swords per 1,000 points. then sellsword infantry, freeblade knights, and hireling outriders, and then free company militia and empire archers from Forces of Fantasy.
And everything above that is new to this book, right?
Yes, all the sellswords, freeblade knights, and hireling outriders are all new. They're so basically cool. Empire troops without the Empire flavor, but they have a ton of options.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I see. Yep. Thrusting spears, halberds, great weapons, crossbows, handguns. Oh, my.
You can build them however you want. They can even take heavy armor. It's great.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Special is as many units of veteran free blades as you want, which are your veteran knights.
Okay. Knights on foot?
No.
I'm assuming.
No, they all come with horses.
Oh, they got horses. Yeah. They sure do. I'm sorry.
You can kind of build knights on foot because you can give the cell swords full plate. The veteran cell swords, you can give full plate.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Because, you know, why would you not? What were they? 5 points a mini?
Veteran cell swords are five points. Yeah, 5 points a model. So you can pay almost double that to give them full plate, which I did in my list because it's fun.
Yeah.
And then 0-2 border prince mortars per 1,000 points, which are just mortars.
Yep.
From the Empire book, but not Empire. And then rare 25% border prince brigands from the Bretonian Arcane Journal. So you can have guys scouting with blunderbusses. And then 0-1 yes. war machine chosen from the following list per 1,000 points. Oh, I got to change my list. I cheated a little bit.
You would.
Border prince organ gun.
Yes.
So you could take a dwarf organ gun and just give it people crew instead. No crusher, mm-hmm. sorry.
I mean, what's the point then?
It's a dwarf organ gun with toughness 3 on the crew. That's the only difference, really.
Well, they also don't have light armor.
Oh, yeah. And -1 weapon skill and probably other dwarf rules, so never mind. And then Border Prince Bombard, which I get why they're using the Border Prince Bombard and not just an Empire Great Cannon. It's a little annoying that it's like, well, it's in that other arcane journal, but so is the wizard you're going to have. So,
yeah,
meh. And then mercenaries, up to 33% of your army's points value can be spent on mercenaries, including any dogs of war from any arcane journal.
Dang.
So this is where you can get some dwarves in the list. Because remember when we were talking about, like, why in the world do they even have this unit of the Imperial dwarves?
Yeah.
So now you can put dwarves in this army because they're dogs of war.
Dan.
Yes.
No.
I'm gonna.
No.
No, probably not.
So the only reason to put Imperial dwarves in this list is so you can have toughness 4 infantry. That's the only reason.
I'm going to give them spears. Them
trash. Trash.
I'm going to give them spears just to make you mad.
I hate it. I hate everything you're
saying. I also cheated and have way too many organ guns and bombards in my built list here. So I'm going to get rid of one of each so I'm not cheating. And then I'm going to add some mercenaries of dwarves because I can. Let's see. I'm going to take let's look at Imperial Dwarf Mercenaries. Let's take a unit of 20. We'll give them full command, thrusting spears, heavy armor, shield.
Got to make sure you get that musician in there.
Yeah. 235 points worth every penny.
So bad.
But you could take two different units of ogres. You could take Imperial Ogres or Ogre Bulls.
I want ogres. Ogres are awesome.
Yeah, I love the idea of ogres. Badland Ogre Bulls. You can take
Doomseekers.
Doomseekers or a Bone Grinder Giant, which I absolutely would if I had one.
Absolutely. For sure.
I mean, they're on a 50x100 minimum, 100x150 maximum. So I could just take my giant model.
Sure.
And be a bone grinder giant. Like, that's just cool. You could just have a random giant. So you can have a monster in there.
Yeah, taking a look at the Imperial Dwarf Mercenaries, they're 8 points. So they're 3 points more than the veteran dudes that you get. And that gets you leadership 9, which is awesome. And then toughness 4. They're initiative 2, though, so why would you not take great weapons? You know?
Because you can give them thrusting spears.
Shut up.
I'm only saying that for this shtick. I don't think thrusting spears are... just give them great weapons.
I mean, you could do thrusting spears and then give them heavy armor and shields, but... Oh, no, thrusting spears take 2 hands?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, don't do that. That's
tough. I think so.
But you can give them veteran, and they have shield wall, so they are a good tank. Right. Yeah. If you just give them hand weapon and shields.
I think they absolutely have more of a place in this list than they would in just a dwarf list that has access to them.
Or somehow an empire list. Like, I don't know. There's another part of me that's like, you could take two infantry dudes for each one dwarf base cost. So why not just take double the bodies? You know,
I mean,
I know I have one less weapon or one less, yeah, weapon skill and toughness. Boohoo.
Fair.
But I have two of them.
Thrusting spears are not two-handed.
Yeah, there you go. I'm heavy armor, sure shield.
Yeah, you spears. Got a 4-up save with a bunch of dwarf attacks. Bunch of
and shield
three.
Wall. Shield wall might require hand weapons, but anyways.
So then the Renegade Crowns have some special rules. And Renegade Captains can be Battle Center Bears.
Yeah, makes sense.
So a couple special rules here. Mercenary hosts for each character in your army that has the Might of Miragliano, Infamous Origin, 0-1 unit of Sellsword Infantry or Veteran Sellsword Infantry may change its troop type to Heavy Infantry and may have the Phalanx special rule for 10 points a unit.
Oh, cool.
So Heavy Infantry is neat. So this is a long kind of convoluted rule. It's a close order unit with the majority of models that have this special rule. So this unit is considered to be in combat order rather than marching column, even if it is deeper than it is wide, provided it contains enough models per rank to claim a rank bonus. Whilst such a unit is deeper than it is wide, it can claim a rank bonus and can perform a charge move, but cannot march or triple its movement characteristic. In addition, should a unit be charged by an enemy unit with the first charge special rule, it does not become disrupted.
Dang.
That part is worth 10 points by itself.
Yes.
Easily. If a unit with a special rule wishes to adopt marching column and march triple its movement characteristic, it must be deeper than it is wide and contain fewer models per rank than it requires to claim a rank bonus. So you have to go down to 3 wide.
Yeah. I like
that.
No
one ever does marching column anyway.
No. But the Phalanx rule is awesome. 10 points a unit.
Yeah, so I got to make sure one of my characters has the Miragliano, Might of Miragliano origin so I can give my unit of veteran cell swords this rule. Because I just being able to count your ranks again when you get charged by first charge is huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's absolutely. Like, I don't care that you're first charge. It literally does nothing now. Yep. Booyah.
We also have two of the other ones. What is it? The Outcast Knights is your next one. So for each character in your army that has the Renegade Knight, Infamous Origin, 0-1 unit of Free Blade Knights or Veteran Free Blade Knights may have the Lance Formation and the Noble Disdain special rule for +2 points your mana. And for each character in your army that has the Noble Outlaw. That's the other one. Never mind. They get ambushed.
Yeah, so Noble Disdain
joy
was the one if your cavalry ignore panic from infantry, and then like being able to go in lance formation is kind of who cares.
Yeah, lance is not stellar.
I don't want to pay. I'm not going to pay for that. Lance is not better than just close order.
Noble Disdain is neat though. It just makes you Brett's right.
Right, I'm better than you infantry peasants.
Right, I'll do the since I read half of it. I'll do the Noble Outlaw as well. So for each character that has a Noble Outlaw, 0-1 units of Hireling Outriders, which we haven't gone over yet. We'll go over that in a second. May have the Ambusher special rule for only 1 point per model.
1 point per unit. Great.
And that's honestly really cheap.
1 point per model is in this case because you can kit them out real shooty. It's not terrible, but
sure.
I don't really like it. And then the Wandering Duelists for each character in your army that has the Wandering Diestro Infamous Origin, 0-1 unit of Border Prince Brigands. Remind you, these are only available as a rare choice in this list. Get +1 weapon skill for 2 points a model. In addition, once per game, models within this unit may make enemy models that direct their attacks against them during the combat phase reroll successful rolls to hit.
Absolutely, yes, 100%.
Right? Even better on a whole unit, making units fighting them reroll to hits. Like, and they're probably, I'm assuming that's going to make them weapon skill 4.
Yeah, I don't know what a Border Prince Brigand is. I'll bring that up.
Because that's a unit for the Outcast Infantry. No, Army of Infamy for Bretonnia.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, sorry.
So Border Prince Brigands, yeah, it'll make them weapon skill 4. So these guys are very similar to the sellswords you have access to in core, but in this army, they're rare. They're 4 points a model. Movement 4, weapon skill, ballistic skill, strength, toughness 3, 1 wound, of course, initiative 3, attack 1, leadership 6. Their captain, the Desperado, which you're going to take just because he's called Desperado, is pretty typical. Plus 1 attack, plus 1 leadership, so leadership 7. They come with hand weapon, light armor. You can give them additional hand weapon or a shield. They can take a pistol or a blunderbuss or a crossbow. Full command they can take. The Desperado can take up to 50 points of magic items. They come with open orders. You can, with 0-1 unit per 1,000 points, can replace open order with close order or skirmishers.
Ooh, nice.
Which is kind of cool. And then if they're skirmishing, they can take ambushers for 2 points a model or scouts for 1 point a model.
Yeah, because ambusher is so much better that you need to upcost it double.
Right.
Because scouts is a terrible special rule. So I don't know bad. If you know that. Yeah.
And then they have horde, which is nice. So you could take a ton of these dudes. Impetuous, levies, motley crew, open order, and warband. So you can actually equip the models however you want with the different weapons.
Oh, yeah, because it says any model in the unit. Interesting.
Yeah. And the blunderbusses are sweet, range 12, strength 3, but AP 1, multiple shots, D3, volley fire, and they ignore the penalties for firing at long range, multiple shots, and stand and shoot.
Yeah, they're so good.
The only issue is...
sounds dope.
You can't make them better at shooting, you can make them better at combat.
Yeah, so in that case, obviously, you're not going to want to take the blunderbuss, but you might want to take the blunderbuss. I don't know, I think I'd take the additional hand weapon.
Additional hand weapon, a weapon skill 4, and you're rerolling to hit them?
Just once, but yeah. That sounds great.
Okay. Oh, once per game, yeah. Still, yep. I think that makes them worthwhile as a rare choice, just because there's something different, and you could really go crazy modeling these guys.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I think the flavor here is fantastic. You get those, like, Italian princes.
Exactly.
Right?
I want, what are they, the crazy Talayan sellsword, greatsword guys that are like the Landisnacks or something like that. I'd love to do that. I forgot I have like 20 greatswords. I can fit them in the list easy because they're sellswords. I can just take full plate armor and great weapons. Done. So cool.
Done.
So again, is this army great? It could be with the 1.5 update to make infantry so much better. I think you could have a ton of fun with this list.
Is it
hyper competitive? I don't know. I don't know what is hyper competitive anymore.
Yeah, for real.
I don't care because I want to have fun with it.
I think the big thing, probably, I'm guessing, where people are saying this isn't competitive is because you have no flying.
There's zero flying, and the only monstrous choice is a crazy expensive bone grinder giant.
Yeah. So, it could be good. But I mean, I got a cannon and an organ gun.
Right. You're going to have a ton of dudes and you can take a fair bit of war machines, and mortars aren't useless anymore since you do see a lot more infantry out there. There's just so much variety in it. It's a modeler's dream. You can buy a bunch of different kits and put them all together to have your motley crews. Like, I kind of want to get like a box of state troops and a box of like Bretonian peasants and mix them up all together and have a ton of guys wielding whatever I feel like.
Right. Absolutely. That sounds dopers McGopers, as Tim would say.
Right. The plastic. Do they still have that? The plastic kit that has like an Empire dude on a horse and on foot?
Probably.
That would be a great, that kit's even better than it used to be because there's so much variety in that. You can build all kinds of princes and captains.
Yep. While you're looking that up, let's talk about the bad part of this book.
We didn't go over the Outriders.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Knights are knights. They're pretty, there's really nothing going on with there's Empire Knights without the Empire rules. They're super straightforward.
So I can't see the special rules for the Hireling Outriders. I'm assuming they're fast cavalry. Just because they're light cav. There we go.
Their special rules are fast cavalry, fire and flee, open order, skirmishers, and swift stride.
Yeah, that makes so much sense because of their options. There are 11 points a mini. You got threes across the board, except for their wounds are one, attack is one, and leadership seven. You can they come with hand weapons. That's it. And you can give them cavalry spears, short bows, pistols, or brace of pistols. The entire unit can take light or heavy armor. They can take shields. You can, you know, get your full command. And then 0 to 1 per 1,000 points may have the feigned flight special rule, the reserve move special rule, vanguard, and they can purchase a magic standard up to 50 points, which is pretty nifty. Again, this is a modeler's dream. What do you want? Do that.
And again, you could take a unit from another book and just make it better. You want pistoliers that aren't impetuous? There you go. Done.
Here you go. And they're skirmish. And wait, the pistoliers already do that. Yeah, these are so fun. They're fun. And that's really the big thing is I feel like GW went, I want players to just do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah.
You know, and this is encapsulating that perfectly.
My only real gripe with this list is I wish there was something a little more out there. Like, I want like Hobgoblin Wolf Riders because there are bands of Hobgoblins as mercenaries in Tilia and the Border Princes. They are absolutely something you would hire. I mean, you could absolutely do that with the hireling Outriders. There's nothing that says this is a human.
Yeah.
Like, you could absolutely model them as goblins on wolves. Like, yeah, it's a war horse, but just call it a war horse and model it as a wolf. The new ones for AOS look amazing. And you could throw them in here. Have hobgoblins with pistols.
Yeah, absolutely.
That sounds fantastic. I'd like to see something a little more out there, like a unit of orcs would be super cool because, again, they're all over the place and they do hire themselves out, especially in the Border Princes with the Badlands right there. I feel like there used to be an army like this that you could take black orcs. Is that Storm of Chaos, probably?
That sounds right, yes.
I feel like they were Dogs of War. But it says Dogs of War from any arcane journal. So that means this army could be almost certainly will be expanded as more arcane journals come out, which is exciting.
So probably one of the most famous mercenaries, Ruglud's Armored Orcs.
Yeah.
Imagine if those came back. That would be so good.
That's the kind of stuff I wish they had brought back because they've been doing such a great job of like recasting those old models. Like I love the dudes with the wings and crossbows they use with their feet.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Or like the pikemen. I can't believe they don't have pikemen in here because that's so Dogs of War. You know, that was like the unit for Dogs of War, pikemen that fight in four ranks, or like long drawn slayer pirates. Where are they? Like,
where are they?
Everybody just wants a Dogs of War book. And like that would make this army just everybody's dream because it's like you can have, I want Tichi Huichi's Raiders. The skinks riding horned ones.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Right? Like that's the kind of that I love what we have from this list right now. That missing those kind of super flavorful things from Warhammer's past would bring that to the next level and be like, I'm a Renegades Crown player now.
Paymasters? It'd be so dope.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
you said, so pikemen would be super super cool.
Yeah, the fact that they only have three halflings, characters.
Sorry.
But halfling hot pot. But maybe we'll get more of that stuff and maybe there will be like a Dogs of War list that will just add to this army.
Oh my gosh. The bear dudes.
Oh my god, I forgot about them.
Urslow.
There used to be so many of these, and any of them coming back would be everybody would buy them. Come on.
Oh, you're talking about the birdmen, yes, of Katraza.
That's what they are, Birdman or Katraza. I just love the idea of those guys. They got little flappy wings with their arms, and they use their feet for crossbows. It's so stupid.
There's so many good ones here. Braganza's besiegers that have pavises.
I don't know how to pronounce that. Pavises. If I would have liked to see more of that, I'm pretty happy that we got from this list. I would like to see like a Renegade steam tank or something just to give them a little more oomph, but
yeah.
I
ready to play some Renegade Crowns. Like, I can feel 2,000 points of what I have from Empire, and it'll just be a little bit different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. yeah.
But do you want to talk about the best part of the book?
No. No, I don't.
The Slayer. All
right, hey, guess what? GW said they weren't going to do lists that people thought, you know, would be obvious, and then they did it, and it was trash. So we've got a Slayer list, folks.
Such a missed opportunity again.
Such a missed opportunity. And I feel like people just complained about it, and they were like, fine, here you go. Ungrim Iron Fist, as your characters, you take 50%. The Slayer King of Karak Kadrin, which is in the Arcane Journal, you take 0 to 1 Demon Slayer per 1,000 points and 0 to 2 Dragon Slayers per unit of Slayers taken. So already your restrictions are here. You got so many restrictions. Your core, at least 20% of your army's points value, which is nice, can be take on Slayers.
I do appreciate they lowered the percentage because you only get Slayers.
All you get are Slayers. Guess what? You got some Slayers. Special, and this is interesting. You can take 0 to 1 Brotherhood of Grimnir, which is new to this book.
New unit.
New unit quotations. 0 to 4 Doomseekers per Demon Slayer or Dragon Slayer taken.
What?
I don't know, man.
Why even include that limitation then? Because it's like, oh, I have a Demon Slayer as my general and one Dragon Slayer. Oh, I can take 8 Doomseekers.
Yeah, which when you're gonna.
What are you ever going to take more than that? That's insane. It's already so many.
400 points, right?
That's so much.
And then 25%, you can take 0 to 1 Goblin Heroes per 1,000 points, 0 to 1 Dwarf Carts, which is nice, but you can't take Miner's Carts.
No Miner Carts, no stealing from kids.
No stealing from kids. And if your army includes Ungrim Iron Fist, you can have 0 to 1 Hammerers, which can be included as a rare choice, which I love because you actually get armor.
Yeah, right.
Which is nice. And then what's nice in this is you can have a Dragon Slayer be your BSB for 25 points. Any model that have the option to purchase runes may do so. And then your runic tattoos. So if you have the option to purchase a runic tattoo, you can do that from the Arcane Journal. And runic tattoos are absolutely awesome. Mm-hmm. As well as you can take 0 to 1 unit of Rangers as mercenaries, which is cool.
Why have mercenaries?
Yeah, you have some.
Rangers are so good. I could see them as special or rare, but why mercenaries? You got to roll on the table. What?
Dude. So then they've got some special rules from the wilds. 0 to 1 unit of Slayers with a unit strength of 10 or... Shut up.
10 or less. Look at this first special rule. It's fantastic.
Yeah, they can have the Ambushers and Skirmish special rule for plus 1 points per model. Skirmishing.
0 to 1 units of Slayers with unit strength 10 or less. Like, talk about restrictions.
Yep, for no reason.
Is GW so scared of Slayers? I don't get it. They're not that good.
They're so bad. I can take 10 models that skirmish.
Woo. And ambushers.
And ambushers. And they ambush move them. 3 inches, Dan. Dang.
But look, Snorri trolls.
That is the rule name is great. So after deployment, but before deploying scouts or making any Vanguard moves, all units of Slayers and Brotherhood of Grimnir within a Slayer host army of infantry may make a Look Snorri Trolls move. A unit making this move moves D3 plus 1 inches as described in the basic movement rules. It may maneuver normally, but cannot march. Roll separately for each eligible unit. Just give them Vanguard. Just give the whole army Vanguard.
I don't understand this. Like,
you could move 2 inches or 4 inches. Just give them Vanguard.
Just give every unit in this list Vanguard. What is that going to... It's not going to break the frigging game.
Here?
Wow, 3 inches up. Good job.
Or it could be 5. Oh, no, it's not. I mean, if Vanguard, it would be 4 inches because you have dwarf carts. But still, just give them 4 inches. This is going to break the game.
I don't think the dwarf cart works for Vanguard.
It changes their movement, but I'm not sure when it happens. It might happen at the beginning of the turn subphase.
I think they have to drink from it in the beginning of the turn subphase. Yeah.
This is such a stupid rule. It's such a good name. Just give them Vanguard.
It's infuriating because it's so close. Like, if you just gave them Vanguard, okay, that's decent. That helps make up for their shitty movement.
So what's really nice about this is you actually can couple this with the banner. I think there's a banner that gives you Vanguard.
Right, because so, this could be in addition to Vanguard if you've got that. I don't know. I don't think Slayers can take Vanguard, but I think Doomseekers can. So you can get a little extra movement out of this.
So, but I don't think Doomseekers are included.
Oh, you're right. It's only Slayers and Brotherhood. Let's see. Brotherhood of Grimnir. Oh, that's so weird. They don't have Vanguard.
Just
that's shocking.
Yeah, so they can just purchase give them Vanguard. Just give them Vanguard. It's so stupid. It's so stupid. Yeah, Strola's. Strola's rune is 25 points. It is not super common. That's not how that works. But yeah, they gain Vanguard. So you can give units Vanguard and then also do this move. So then your dwarf cards are way too far away from you. So you can't drink from them. It's so dumb.
It's just useless.
It's so just give them Vanguard.
Oh, do the next one. I want to talk about Words of Grimnir.
Good, because I can't read it. Troll Hunters, 0-1 unit characters, 0-1 characters per 1,000 points in a Slayer host. Army of Infamy, not including Ungrim, may have the Scouts special rule for plus 10 points. Fantastic. Amazing. I can't wait to... I would never use this.
For 10 points? I would never use it. 10 points. I got my Dragon Slayer over here now. Oh, he got shot to death. Great.
Yes. Turn one, shot to death. Fantastic. Guess what? I can put him within the unit of Rangers, so he can't get just auto-targeted. So this can have use.
I think where this is good, can be good, I believe, would be with Doomseekers. They are characters.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Right, they have the so character. You can have
two Doomseekers that are scouts. Yeah, that's pretty dope.
Why is this so limited? Why are they so scared of single dwarves? Well, 0-1 per 1,000 points?
Doomseekers I would be afraid of. But at the same time, like if you can take two units of Rangers, I don't know how many, I can't math that out right now. You could put the, because they're characters, they can't be shot at if they're not the closest thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can scout with the Rangers and then put like the Doomseekers right in the middle of the unit because they don't have to be more than an inch away.
Oh, if they're skirmishing. Okay, fair.
Right.
Because they can't join the unit, but...
Correct. So then you have this, which is dumb. Just make Rangers be Slayers.
Just make them Slayer Rangers. Why?
Everything has the Slayer special rule. So
easy to make this so much better.
I hate it. Anyways, read the next stupid one.
Oh, you're going to be real mad about this one. You ready?
Uh-huh.
The Wards of Grimnir.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes. So they all have a 5-up ward save, right, Dan?
Any unit in a Slayer host that includes a standard bearer may purchase Wards of Grimnir for plus 1 points a model. A unit with Wards of Grimnir has a 6+ ward save against any wounds suffered during the shooting phase that were caused by a non-magical enemy attack.
This has been a great podcast, and I'm glad that we could do it together, but I'm out.
Just give the entire army a 6+ ward save.
Because
done. Just for 1 point a mod. Just don't even make it cost more. Just give everybody a 6+ ward save all the time, always.
And that's something that GW is also terrified of, is 6+ ward saves. They're like, 6+, 15 points a model. 6+ ward save. We can't have that. It's terrifying.
But
like,
only in the shooting phase and against non-magical attacks. So,
so stupid.
Dwarf war machines, magic missiles, vortexes, you don't get the save against. Like,
so what I want to do here, we'll go over the rest of the rules real quick, but what I want to do here is I want to write this, like, I want to face you with a list, but have rules that make sense. And just be like, look how not broken this was.
Right. Yeah, because they could have just stopped at a unit with Wards of Grimnir has a 6+ ward save against any wound suffered. Period.
Done.
Yeah.
You have to have a standard. So your Doomseekers are dead.
Yep.
Still. Like, it's so stupid. Worst among equals. You want to do that one too?
Worst among equals. It's so insulting.
I don't get it.
The flavored text is surly and quarrelsome by nature. Slayers are seldom willing to heed the commands of any individual.
Yeah.
If your army includes Ungrim Iron Fist, he must be your general. Obviously, if you don't have him, you must nominate a Demon Slayer or Dragon Slayer to act as your general, even though the Loner Special Rule would normally prevent this. However, to reflect that, Slayers make poor leaders. A dragon slayer or demon slayer that is the general of a slayer host does not gain the inspiring presence special rule. Who cares? They're all leadership 10 and unbreakable. It literally doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. First of all, it doesn't matter. Secondly, why are we doing more restrictions? Thirdly, you're going to tell me that a unit of slayers is not going to look at Gotrek Gurnison and be like, I'm going to do what he says.
It's just...
What?
It's so completely unnecessary. But then there's a little note. Note that if a general of the slayer host Army of Infamy bears the Rune of Dishonored runic tattoo, the enemy player can win the bonus victory points for slaying them as normal.
Okay, so they get
the Rune of Dishonored means you don't get victory points for killing them.
Yes.
But you still get the killing the general points.
Yeah, they essentially turn into Doomseekers. So they count against you if they're still alive.
That whole paragraph before is completely unnecessary. All you need is that note.
Yes. Yes. It doesn't make any...
Well, it is necessary because if you don't have Ungrim, you can't have a general by the rules because they all have the loner special rule.
So literally the only reason that this is important is if you decide to take one unit of hammerers because you took Ungrim, which he's going to join the unit, so it doesn't matter, or you have a unit of rangers and some dwarf carts. Like, because your dwarf carts are leadership 9, oh no. Like, just... Anyways,
just make it a slayer dwarf cart and make it leadership 10 and unbreakable. Like,
I want it to be good.
It's so close though. Yeah, like,
it's so close.
Give everything the slayer rule, like you said. Give everything unbreakable that's in this army. Let them take more than rangers and don't make them mercenaries. Put them in special or rare. Make it a slayer host that has some basic dwarf stuff available to it. Slap a 6+ ward save on all of it. Just don't give them a bunch of war machines and you'll be fine. Like,
correct.
They're not going to be overwhelming.
Which is a close combat dwarf list, for the love of God. That's not that hard. Apparently it is. Let's talk about the stupid unit they gave us.
About the Brotherhood of Grimnir, you want to hear the best thing about this?
Yes.
So in that battle report on Mountain Miniatures, with Steve had Renegade Crowns and Luca had the Slayer host, Luca annihilated him, and Steve scored like 100 points because almost nothing gave victory points.
That's fair, actually.
So like, yeah, your stuff is gonna die, but it's not gonna give so much of it didn't give points. It was like the block of slayers, and Steve was like, I'm never gonna kill them all because there's like 30 of them and they're unbreakable. And then all these other, I think Luca had like the maximum 8 slayers or Doomseekers or something. Yeah. It was like, didn't get points for any of them. They were just murdering everything.
At base, they're only 50 points and they murder everything.
Yeah.
They're not terrible.
So,
but
like,
no, I can see how that can get out of hand real quick.
Yeah. Face value, the army looks god awful, but on the table, like, they can be obnoxious. But kind of not in a good way, because it's like, wow, I can score 300 points if you're 2,000 point army. That sucks.
It's so insane.
All right, Brotherhood of Grimnir, are you ready for this new special unit?
No, I'm not.
You can only have one unit of this, no matter the size of the army. 0-1.
What?
0-1.
Oh my God. Not- why?
Because they're just so good. For 8.
And the unit size, it's capped at 30 minis.
Well, it actually has a maximum. That's weird.
Oh my gosh.
18 points a model for a single wound, no armor infantry.
Oh, so it is weapon skill 5, though.
They do have some...
Do they have 2 attacks?
Some of their stats are sweet. Weapon skill 5, 2 attacks, initiative 3.
Oh, wow. It's fast for dwarves.
What's funny is the Shrine Keeper, their champion, gets +1 weapon skill, but doesn't get another attack. He does get another wound. Never mind. He has an extra wound. That's huge.
Oh, cool. That's nice.
Yeah. And they are slayers, but the Shrine Keeper can dispel spells with +1 within 21 inches.
Okay, so he's a level 1 or 2.
Dispel. But 21 inches instead of 18.
Oh, dang. All right. That's pretty dope.
But you can only ever have one unit of these.
Shut up.
What?
Shut up, I hate it.
Right? Well, the Blessing of Grimnir, make that an upgrade characters can take and just make it expensive, relatively.
Yes! Why would a Demon Slayer not be blessed by Grimnir?
Right? Like, why, just instead of making a whole new unit just to make the champion do this, just make it a 20-point upgrade any character can take, other than Doomseekers. Let's say other than Doomseekers.
I'm so angry.
That Dragon Slayers or Demon Slayers can take this for 20 points. They can dispel. You know
what? Make it 30, because it is really good. Make it 30.
Make it 30. Plus one to a dispel attempt within 21 inches. But really, that's pretty much all they get. Magic resistance 2, I think that's normal. They do have Grommrill weapons. I don't think normal slayers have that. I think the rest of it is just slayers. The Shrine Keeper can take a single runic tattoo up to 50 points of weapon runes and up to 50 points of talismanic runes. Ooh, so you can make this guy insanely expensive.
Yep, with two wounds. Yeah.
With two wounds. I mean, he's a hero level character.
And no save. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, zero save because they don't even get a ward save or anything.
Unless you're shooting.
He's still only toughness 4, so he's not as good as other hero level characters in dwarves.
Oh my gosh.
It's so close. Ugh.
So with this guy, you can give him the Master Rune of Calm for 50 points. He gets a bounce spell, power level 2. If you cast it at 8 plus enemy wizards within 18 inches, increase the spell's casting value by 2, which is massive.
Wow, that just makes spells impossible to cast.
Yeah, and then if it's an 11 plus, it's 36 inches. So it's, you know, pretty much the whole board. So that can be incredible. And then you can, let's see, what else would be fantastic? You can give him a Rune of Warding for 20 points. It's a single use. He gets a 2-up ward save against a single wound.
Okay, so you have any ward save, but you're going to want to use that on your more useful characters.
Well, can any? Yeah, yeah, yep. And then, that's all I would think.
Something you probably can you have multiple of the same talismanic tattoos?
Oh, that was talismanic runes.
Oh, that's a rune. Okay.
Yeah.
So you just have to follow the rune rules.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And the Rune of Warding is super common, so you can take multiple on one item. So for 40 points, you can take 2 of those, so you get 2 ward saves.
Okay.
Two ward saves. 2-2 up. So, yeah, I don't know. I'd love to. I want to try it base, and then I want to try it just being like, why do we have all these restrictions?
Yeah.
You know, and just see the difference. Obviously, two different, completely different games, they're going to be strange, right? So you never know. I think this would be super duper fun.
I really want to try out what's it called, like I'll take my renegade crowns, you take the slayer host, we could proxy a bunch of slayers stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Especially characters, and because I know you have a few characters.
I got a lot of characters. I got a lot of doom seekers. I only have like 40 or 60 slayers though.
Seems like you could do it though, and then you have you even have a goblin hewer and a cart.
Yeah, yeah.
How many carts can you take?
I can just take carts.
What?
No. I can take two.
Oh yeah, 0 to 1 per 1,000 points. I was gonna say there's no way that's not limited in this particular list. Everything else is.
Everything's limited. Yeah, it's almost Skaven levels of limitation.
Oh,
almost. Almost. We're not quite there yet. I know. It's so stupid.
So. Obviously, that's only part of this book. We didn't touch on the Tomb King stuff at all because Tim supposedly plays Tomb Kings, but he doesn't even know how to put skeletons together without it going up his nose. and there's not too much there. Like they reprinted the mount, like the character mounts page, I think just to add a barded skeletal steed in addition to a skeletal steed.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
for characters.
That makes sense.
And they have a new monster, the Winged War Sphinx.
Ooh, that sounds cool.
It loses the whole howdah with all the guys on the back and has wings instead.
Yeah,
so that sounds awesome. Looks cool. And we'll talk, another episode, we'll talk about that and their new invocations, which are kind of neat.
Yep, I'm going to start making a Slayer host list. Here I go.
He's going to be so happy while he does it.
Yep, Ungrim Slayer host of disappointment.
I was not ready for that. It's I feel bad with this book because it's like there's the Empire offshoot list, and like I have Empire and I think the list is pretty great. Obviously, it leaves a lot to be desired, but it is absolutely playable. Whereas Taylor, having the dwarf offshoot list as a dwarf player, and you're like, this is garbage. Why would you do this to me?
There's so many parts of this where it can be really good. Like, obviously, I'm going to take as many Doom Seekers as I can, and that's fantastic. And, you know, ambush. I can give him scouts, and I can do a unit of rangers or two. And, you know, like, I can... You love hammers, so obviously I'm going to take a unit of hammers and throw them in there. It's going to be great. So I'll mess around with it, see what I can do to make this ridiculous. But, I don't know. It's just 400 points on 8 Doomseekers. Sounds hilarious to me, and I'm absolutely going to do that if I own 8 Doomseekers. I might have, like, 6, but still, I don't know.
That's still going to be a huge pain to deal with.
It's going to be a huge pain to deal with. But you know what else is a huge pain to deal with? Not finding our stuff, ironically. It's all on professionalcasual.com. It's really easy to find. All of our socials are on there. Podcasts, blogs, merch, everything's going on. Make sure to follow us on all the things like YouTube and TikTok and all that sort of nonsense. We've got startplaying.games where Dan Zoon is GMing stuff and whatnot. Go give him a follow at least, or at least like bookmark the page or do any of that. You know, just help support everybody in the network. We've got twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork where, surprise, surprise, Dr. D is streaming right now.
Of course he is.
And Dr. D's Disaster Zone, if you're a miniature painter, which if you're listening to the show and you're not, what are you doing? He can absolutely, one of his minions. Favorite things to do is teach people how to paint better live. So go over there, get some painting tips. He's an incredible painter. Check him out.
He's real good.
Oh, yeah. He's really good. Oh, yeah, the Power Phase every Tuesday where we're playing some sort of game. P.O. Box G, West Oneonta, New York, 13861. If you feel like sending us stuff, you can send us stuff. I could use an Ungrim model if you want to send one my way.
Hey-o.
to be angry about this list. 603-803-3235. If you want to send feet pics to Tim, you can send them right over there. And then we have 4DO. If you are ever feeling generous and donate-y, you can donate to 4DO. It's the Friends of Recovery dedicated to others. You know, just help people get back on their feet. And I think I forgot this in the last episode. Please leave us a review. Be like Michael, just, you know, better. leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast or Audible or really anywhere. We would love to read your review live here on the channel. Danny, you got anything to add, bud?
Yeah, may your dice ever roll 6s unless you're a slayer that doesn't have a ward save.
I hate you so much.
I was working on that one for a minute.
I love y'all. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network. Like what, Danny?
I'll tell you. On Mondays, we've got the Lost Omens podcast, our Pathfinder 2e actual play, hosted by me, playing through the Extinction Curse AP. Also, streaming on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork at 7 p.m. Eastern time, you can check out, oh yeah, the Power Phase, our Marvel Crisis Protocol live battle report show. On Tuesdays, the podcast version of Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog is available. On Wednesdays, alternating releases on the Patreon, we have Settling the Southlands, our homebrew Wolforp actual play, and The Slithering, a Pathfinder 2nd edition actual play. And on Thursdays, live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, we've got Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog.
You can also check out back episodes of Elite Eight Showdown and the first 39 episodes of the Lost Omens podcast, the first 24 episodes of Settling the Southlands, and the first handful of episodes of The Slithering on the YouTube at youtube.com/theprofessionalcasual.